sun. I say it's all right.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. Tuesday, that means it's time for the Garden Line. Talking about the beach a little bit this morning, and Mike came in and says, I know what I want to hear. Here comes the sun.
Here comes the sun. What a great summer song.
Absolutely.
And a great look outside.
It's gorgeous.
Here comes the sun.
I've seen all these pictures on Facebook of the sunrise and the water. I mean, we live in one of the most beautiful places in the world.
Yeah, I listened to you and Andrew this morning talking about resolutions,
right.
Mid-year resolutions, and yours was one I was thinking, and then you said it. Why don't we go to the beach more?
I know. We live in the most beautiful, and I don't go enough.
You know.
I mean, then I go, and I go, why am I not coming out here more often? Even at night, just going out to see the stars.
Right.
Oh, my gosh, it's beautiful.
I always kind of go back to what Mayor Vince Wibbs said about, you know, we're the place where thousands live the way millions wish they could.
I know.
And so we need to take advantage of these things. We have so much going on.
No question about it.
Exactly.
All right. Well, this is the Garden Line.
This is the Garden Line. And a couple of things. Talking about Here Comes the Sun. It looks like we may get a little bit of rain, not much, maybe, you know, off and on for the week, but temperatures are going to be relatively high. So just like we talked about last week, be so careful with what you put on the lawn and what you do after you put these materials on. If you're putting fertilizer on, you got to water it, and I'd water it. If you put fertilizer on today, I'd water it every day for about 3 or 4 days, every day. Let's get it down where it's going to do some good. If you want to go out and spray weed killer, I would say don't. I would say just put it on the shelf, forget it for right now. You get into the 90s and you can really do some damage. Now, if it's a problem that you say, you know, I'm going to do it anyway, I won't take a chance, experiment. Take a small area and do something that may be questionable and see what happens. If you see a lot of damage, then you know you shouldn't do the whole job. But so just kind of think all that through before you put something on your lawn that could damage it. And plants also, because this is a great time, or I say it is a great time, it has been for the last month, to put on your ultra-fine oil to spray on your broadleaf landscaping plants, your camellias, your azaleas. That's fine. And this ultra-fine oil is better than the old Volk oil, because the temperature restrictions of that were real small. But the ultrafine oil, your temperature restrictions have expanded. But you get into the 90s, and you might have some problems. So the overall message here is just be careful what you do. Insect control shouldn't be a problem. For example, this time of year with mole crickets, you may be putting a granular insecticide on your yard. That's fine. Put it out there and water it in, and you'll be okay. But what did we say last week? And we've said it week after week. Don't, just because what's on the label is, say, a tablespoonful, don't do 2 tablespoonfuls.
More is not necessarily more, better.
That's how you said it better. You said it than I did. Exactly. Just a couple other things real quick. I do need, here we go, we're getting off topic again. We do that a lot, Meg.
No.
Need to congratulate all the graduates.
Yes.
High school, college, all these graduations are going on. I've been to a bunch of them.
You sure have, Grandpa.
And they have been wonderful, just wonderful. And now that these graduates are out of school, you know what they're doing today.
Looking for work.
No, they're listening. No, well, maybe so. No, they're listening to the Garden Line.
Oh,
okay. We need to welcome all our new listeners, high school and college graduates. Anyway, I go to those graduations and I'm just blown away with the accomplishments of these kids, the grade point averages they have, the community work that they've done. And it just gives you a good feeling about the new generation.
It gives really you a lot of hope for the future, doesn't it?
Boy, it does. There's absolutely no doubt about it. So, anyway, welcome to the graduates to the Garden Line. This may be your first time you've listened to us. And it may be your last. Anyway,
hopefully not.
Hopefully not.
All right. Well, already the texts are coming in. But do you have one more thing you wanted to mention before that?
Or? Well, I'm just going to mention one quick thing. I just, you know, have other people respond to this to see if I'm right. I think the live oak leaf drop has stopped.
Oh, gosh, I hope so.
I really believe that. I just am not getting much anymore, whereas I got bags and bags and bags full of that stuff. So let's hope that that is over. That's something that's just sort of a rite of spring. It's going to happen, but now maybe we'll have to do it anymore. No more raking, bagging.
I'm hoping the pollen will let up, too.
Well, I think so.
Because my car was covered in for a couple weeks there. It hasn't been as bad now.
I think that all kind of goes together. Mm-hmm. So I hope we're okay. But anyway, yeah, a little text. What we got?
Okay, so if you would like to text in a question for Mike at the Garden Line, he is our expert this morning, 850-437-1620. We weren't even on the air 2 minutes, and they started coming in, Mike.
Oh,
so apparently
wonderful.
People have lists today. Let me start with the first one. I'll have to show you these pictures, but they're gorgeous. Catherine and David said that their garden is looking great, and they have these beautiful pictures. It says, lace top hydrangeas and lilies are growing in David and Catherine's backyard. So there's a beautiful picture you're going to have to check at the break here. So thanks for sending the pictures in, the photos.
I am so glad to get those, but I am not the least bit surprised that Catherine's yard is a Southern Living
Right,
type
that's
of
what
backyard.
It looks like, the cover of Southern
Picture
Living
cover
is what these photos
Southern
look
Living.
Like for sure.
Anyway, we appreciate it. Yeah,
I got another one for you. So, sure. Okay, this is a question. I had a soil analysis done, and the results were a slightly low potassium and phosphorus, as well as low PFF.
Oh, pH.
pH, I'm sorry. I need glasses.
Right.
I know to apply slow release time, but what about the other?
Well, all fertilizers have three ingredients, the nitrogen, phosphate, and potash. The nitrogen is what is important nowadays, okay? The other two, the phosphate, the middle number, is not that really important. We have enough of that in our soil that nobody pays much attention to that. The potash is important, but it's even more important in the fall because it helps with the root growth and helps the grass get through the winter. So the nitrogen is the most important, but what you've got to do is be sure that nitrogen can be used by the lawn. And to do that, you've got to address the pH. Now, this is a general rule, and maybe this is just Mike's rule, but it's a general rule in that if your pH is 6 and above, you're fine.
Mm-hmm.
You're fine. For St. Augustine, I'm going to talk about St. Augustine grass first. You're okay. If it's in the fives, you probably need to go ahead and use dolomite lime. And I bet that's what that soil test said. Uses about 30, 40 pounds per 1,000 square feet of granular dolomite lime to get that pH up just a little bit, because that's what St. Augustine likes. It's what St. Augustine uses to kind of unlock the system so that nitrogen put on works.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you have centipede grass, and that pH is 6 and below. Do nothing. Centipede likes that.
Oh, okay.
Because what that dolomite doing is kind of sweeten the soil, because we have an acid soil here in Northwest Florida. And I always use the example of Bellingraph Gardens in over in Mobile. Beautiful. I mean, azaleas, hydrangeas, mm-hmm. gardenias, all of that, because we have an acid soil. And centipede enjoys that. St. Augustine does not. That's why you put the lime on the St. Augustine.
Okay.
So that's kind of my reading of what to answer that question.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a break now. If you've got a question for Mike in the Garden Line, 850-437-1620. This is Pep Talk. We'll be back after the break. Good morning. You're listening to The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins on Pep Talk, 850-437-1620. Lots of texts coming in, Mike. We just looked at beautiful text of four different orchids.
I don't think we had a name on that either.
No, I'm sorry, we didn't, but they're gorgeous. Goodness gracious.
Let me tell you, that takes a special gardener to be able to grow orchids that pretty.
No question about it.
It takes just the right environment and light, mm-hmm. fertilizer, et cetera. And they are just gorgeous.
Yes, thank you for sending that photo in. Really beautiful. Okay, lots of questions, so we're going to try to get to them as quickly as we can. First one out of the box. Something is eating my morning glories.
Say it isn't so. Yeah.
That opens up to a lot of possibilities, doesn't it?
It does.
Help. They didn't put the help in there, but I'm adding that. Yeah. Any thoughts?
Well, a couple things. One, it could be a worm, and that happens a lot. And if it is, there's a great product that one can use. It's called BT, stands for Bacillus thuringiensis. It's a great product to use for worms that are eating the leaves on your vegetable plants or your morning glories or whatever. And it's totally safe. It's organic. So it's a good, safe product to use. Could be some slugs, snails, that type of thing. And if it's those things, you need to use a bait. There used to be an old product out there I used to really enjoy because it really worked well, called Bug Getter. And the Bug Getter was a bait for some of these things that will damage plants. But you use it really just the opposite of a regular insecticide. If you think you've got that on your plant, you water the plant first. Then you spread these pellets around the plant and don't water them in. So use a bait for some of these varmints, but the BT is really good. I would wager it could be a worm that's getting on there, it's chomping on that morning glory, and that's when BT comes in. And of course, if you really want to stay totally organic, kind of keep a close eye on it, because if you see those worms, there are a lot of folks that will say, hey, I'm just going to pick them off. I'm just going to pick them up and throw them away. And that is the totally organic way to do it.
Taking matters in your own hands.
Bill, you are so,
I'm sharp this morning. Second cup of coffee.
It's working.
Okay, we got another one here, so we're going to try to get through all of the questions this morning. This one says, my mature Japanese yews have something black on all their leaves, something similar to what used to grow on my gardenia bushes. There used to be a Volk oil spray I used on gardenias, but I can't find it anymore. Is this blight on the yews the same as what was on the gardenias? What can I use?
Okay, absolutely, and that's a great question. That kind of goes back to what we talked about a minute ago.
Mm-hmm.
That's called black sooty mold.
Ugh, sounds horrible.
But here's how it works. Let's say, okay, you got your Japanese yew.
Mm-hmm.
You have had scale on there because the scale comes first, little white dots that gets on the underside of the leaves. The scale is an insect, and it pierces the leaf. And when it pierces the leaf, this honeydew comes out of the leaf. Okay, it's formed by the scale puncturing the leaf. After that, the black sooty mold comes from that honeydew. This is complicated. Well, it's not complicated. It's just the way it works. And the black sooty mold forms. And the reason that damages the plant is that black mold inhibits the sun from getting on the plant, and so it doesn't get enough sunlight.
Makes perfect sense.
Okay, so here's the deal. So what you're trying to do is to go back to the beginning of that problem and get the scale. Get it. And the person who texted it was right on. Remember we talked about the Volk oil, which is an older ortho product that I don't think is available anymore. But even if it is, nobody really uses that. They use the ultra fine oil, which you can find at any garden center. Spraying underneath the leaves, and that smothers the scale. Scale's dead. No more piercing the leaf. No more black sooty mold. Now, that goes back to our temperature problem we talked about a minute ago. Volk oil, you would certainly not use it. I don't think you really wanted to use that if temperatures were just in the low 80s. But here we are in the 90s, and the ultrafine oil is really dicey in hot weather. Now, if it's really bad and you look like you're in the danger of losing that plant, you could take a chance. But when you do that, be sure you get underneath the leaves. That's the critical thing to do, and you'll be in good shape.
Could you spray at night when the temperatures are cooler? Would that work?
I don't think that's going to work, because that stuff's going to stay on there.
I gotcha.
And it's going to kind of, as it smothers that scale. So that's probably the thing to do. especially if you're really in jeopardy of losing that Japanese yew. Japanese yews are a great plant, and they'll bounce back from that kind of problem. They're a staple landscaping plant in Pensacola. So that's what I would do, and see what happens.
Okay, great question. If you've got a question for Mike and the Garden Line, 850-437-1620. We have a theme this morning, more bugs.
Time of year.
Yes, it is. What are the black bugs that are in your grass that jump around? And someone else said a similar one. I've got these black bugs in my grass. What are they?
I'm not sure.
Two questions on that.
Black bugs, and I'm not sure what they are, to be honest with you.
Okay.
This time of year, you've got three different types of bugs, if you will, that are really going to be a problem in your turf. One, you've got chinch bugs, which they're not going to be jumping around, but they are black, but it looks like they have a little gray on their back. It's kind of a wing on there. That's chinch bugs. Sod wedworms, which obviously they chew the grass. It looks like a goat's been eating your grass. But where that comes from, and we all who've had St. Augustine grass know how this works, a little later in the summer, you walk across your lawn and those dingy little gray moths fly up.
Mm.
You can even go over to, if you have a monkey grass border, just go over and kick it. and those bugs or the moths will fly out. They lay the eggs for the sod webworm, which in turn eats your grass. Third thing is the mole crickets, which this time of year may be your major problem, will burrow underneath the turf and loosen the roots, and the grass dries out. It's not really eating the grass. It's taking away the root system, and so the grass does dry out. The little black bugs, I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to ask our research department to look into that.
Get these people on their toes.
Yeah, we'll figure that one. We'll try to figure that one out. But those are the big three that are going to bother you in the summer.
Okay. We've got to take a quick break here. More questions for the Garden Line coming up. And if you've got one, 850-437-1620. This is Pep Talk. Good morning. This is Pep Talk in the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. Lots of texts rolling in, Mike. Here's another one that says, isn't St. Augustine more popular, talking about the grass? If our soil is acidic, why isn't centipede more popular? Maybe I'm thinking wrong, ?
Oh, no, not thinking wrong at all. There are advantages to both of them. Let's go to the centipede first. The centipede does like an acid soil.
Mm-hmm.
No question about it. The centipede color is a little lighter green than the deeper green of the St. Augustine. The blade's a little bit smaller. And if you're going to do some sodding or even seeding, it's less expensive. The one thing about centipede is that you have to be careful, because I think there's a longevity problem with centipede grass. And it's a long time. If you go 6, 7, 8 years, when it comes out of dormancy, sometimes you'll have just patches where the grass just isn't coming back.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really have that with St. Augustine. However, centipede is getting even a little bit more popular, kind of like zoysia. We haven't talked about zoysia this morning, but kind of like zoysia, because the St. Augustine has got the disease problem, the brown patch Rhizoctonia brown patch fungus. You're laughing at me again. Quit it.
Well, he knows these things it's amazing to me, his wealth of knowledge, because earlier you said
I've rattled off this oil
called the Bacillus
thuringiensis. I've said that word for 1,000 years.
And I was like, what? How do you have that in your brain? And what did you just say? Was something?
Oh, the Rhizoctonia brown patch fungus.
Yes,
which will get into your St. Augustine, and it's really hard to control. I want to come back to this question when we come out of the break.
All right, we're having some fun this morning talking about a lot of bugs, a lot of bug questions. It's 850-437-1620, Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel, The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins, who has a plethora of knowledge stored up just for you. So if you have a question, text it on in. We'll be back right after the news on Pep Talk. Good morning. This is Pep Talk. It's Tuesday, and that means it's time for the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. So many texts coming in, and we really are going to do our best this morning to get to them. But Mike wanted to finish up on the one.
That was a great question about if St. Augustine and if centipede is likes an acid soil, why doesn't everybody have it? And like we said, there are advantages and disadvantages. But what we didn't do is look at St. Augustine, which over the years has been the favorite grass. It has a dark green. It just does so well here. It looks wonderful. But with the disease problem we talked about, a lot of people are saying, well, I need an alternative. And what so many people have turned to is zoysia. Because zoysia has just done so well. Now, it'll get a little fungus. It'll get some insects. But it's just has done so well in relation or comparatively speaking to St. Augustine. Because once the St. Augustine gets really a bad case of that disease, of the fungus, it's hard to solve that.
Mm-hmm.
Chinch bugs also, they will kill the grass. Then you've either got to, you got to spray it and spray it and spray it, and then you have to replace it if it just doesn't come back. So people are saying, well, what's my alternative? Well, I could do centipede, but I really like the looks of that zoysia. You cut it a little bit lower, and if you take care of it right, it looks like a golf green. Anyway, that's just a couple of comments to answer why people don't automatically go to centipede because of our acid soil. Great question.
Thanks for sending that in. All right, back to the theme of the morning. Seems to be bugs. So we've got a lot of questions. Mike's like, But someone just texted in about that they have moths. That she says, I saw a white moth in my garden last night, and they're bad at night. So how do I stop them?
Well, you're not going to stop the moths. You really are not. You're not going to stop the moths. But you've got to, it's too early in the season, I think. Now, we never know. You know, the climate it gets a little weird sometimes because the moths, if they're the gray, dingy-colored little moths that fly around about waist high in your yard or your garden, that could be a sign of worms to come, like the sod webworms. But insofar as controlling the moths, there's no way you can do it. I always tell people that if you have the worms in your yard, you had the moths.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have the moths, doesn't necessarily mean you're going to have the worms. It's just how it works. They go somewhere else. I don't know why that happens, but that's the way it is. So don't panic with the moths, but be ready for them. Some worms coming on.
Okay, got another bug question for you here.
Bring it on.
All right, so what are the black bugs that are in your grass that jump around? What are the black bugs that are in your grass that jump around? My neighbor called them bugs springtails. How do you kill them?
Well, what I would do if there are some insects in your lawn, these little black bugs, for example, or springtails, whatever is happening here, putting on a granular insecticide is not a bad way to handle it. Spectracide makes a good one. You get about a 10-pound bag. It covers, sometimes 2,000 to 3,000 to 4,000 square feet.
Wow, okay.
Put it in your fertilizer spreader, put it out, and water it in. And that kind of takes care of a whole host of bugs in your lawn. Now, sometimes you really can't prevent them, but if they're there, that's what those granules are going to do. They contain different insecticides, and of course, if you follow those instructions on the bag, so put so many pounds per 1,000 square feet, water it in, it's going to be safe.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and what about gnats?
Gnats. That's a tough one. That's a tough one. Exactly. Gnats, are they in the house or in the yard?
Both.
Both. Well, if they're in your house, I think gnats many times come from your house plants.
Mm-hmm.
You know, too much water, too little water. I think that would be a source of the gnats. So that being the case, you need to look very closely at your house plants and water them on a steady basis. Keep them moist, not sopping wet, and don't let them totally dry out.
Mm-hmm.
So if you do all that, that might help with the gnats inside. The gnats outside, I'm not sure exactly what you're going to do about that because they are everywhere.
They are now, especially. Okay, another question's coming in from Nancy. I love this. She says, asking for a friend.
Nancy. Okay, Nancy. Okay, Nancy. I'm holding on over here. What you got?
I love that. What is the best time, just changing the subject now, what is the best time to plant crepe myrtles? I've heard you say it, but I can't recall. Help. Thanks.
Well, tell your friend, Nancy. That's great. Okay, yeah. I two ways to look at this. One, most of the crepe myrtles you buy are going to be in a container, which means all the roots are in that pot of the crepe myrtle. I think you need to look at crepe myrtles insofar as what color you want. If you want a red crepe myrtle, then you probably need to buy it right now. Or go to your local garden center, and if it's you see the red one, put a tag on it, say it's yours, and or buy it, take it home, and don't plant it till the winter. Planting deciduous trees is best done in the cooler weather. However, because all the roots are in that pot, if you do it right, a lot of water, a lot of organic material, Canadian sphagnum, peat moss, that type of thing, you'll probably be okay. But many crepe myrtles nowadays will be have a label that says red. Well, what kind of red? Is it a watermelon red? Is it a pinkish red? So if you really are going to concentrate on the color, you need to buy it when it's blooming, which is starting right now.
Mm-hmm.
Starting right now. And if you do plant it, be very, very careful. Or buy it, take it home, take care of it in the pot over the summer, and then plant it in the fall when the weather's cooler.
Okay. And back to the bugs. We have a question from a comment from Paul with Blue Sky Landscaping, a friend
on,
of
Paul.
The show. He says, if the insects are not harming the landscape, consider not treating. So many times we're killing the beneficial insects at the same time that we're killing the pests.
You know,
that's probably good advice.
That's great advice. You know, that goes along with our philosophy of integrated pest management also. If you've got, let's go back to the Japanese yew question that was called in earlier. You've got to address that. There's no question about it. But just because that Japanese yew had the scale on it and the black sooty mold doesn't mean that all your plants have it.
Mm-hmm.
So don't treat all your plants. Don't do anything. And if you had chinch bugs in your St. Augustine, treat the area where the chinch bugs are located. You obviously will know that because the grass is discolored, is browning out, etc. And off of it, just a matter of 5-10 feet. But you don't have to do the whole yard.
Mm-hmm.
So Paul is right. Be very careful. Be very cognizant of when we use these chemicals that we use them, one, for the right thing and use them the right way, and don't overdo it. And Paul's right. If you have a beautiful St. Augustine, centipede, or zoysia lawn, and you've got a couple of we call them springtails.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're going to do much damage to your yard. So if you really want to get rid of them, use the granular insecticide. But if they're not doing any damage, I totally agree with Paul. Let it go.
Okay.
Let it go.
All right. Got another question here. And this is pronounced, I think, it's P-U-S-L-E-Y, Puzzley.
Yes.
Is taking over. 2.4-D will not kill it. Neither will Roundup. It comes back, I think, due to a super long taproot. Any ideas?
Well, that is called Florida Puzzley.
Okay.
And it is if it's the same one we're talking about here, it has a white blossom on it, and it has a broad leaf. I'm very surprised that you've had no luck with 2,4-D, which 2,4-D is kind of the basic chemical that's used in many, many lawn weed killers. And the Roundup for sure should have killed it, because the Roundup would be absorbed by those leaves and will be translocated to the roots and kill it outright. So I'm not sure why those two products have not worked on Florida Puzzley. Generally, Florida Puzzley, when we're treating Florida Puzzley, we're all at the same time of treating dollar weed, because you use the exact same products for both of them.
Hmm.
Because broadleaf weeds usually have blooms on them, as Florida Puzzley does. And generally, those two products, if you had asked me what to use, I would have used.
You would have suggested,
I would have said
2,4-D,
2,4-D, which is selective.
Mm-hmm.
That's a selective one. If you've got St. Augustine grass and you've got Florida Puzzley come in there, you can spray it and it'll kill the Florida Puzzley, but not the St. Augustine. Unless, and this is the big unless, you do it right now. Don't.
Okay.
It's too hot in the spring and fall is when you want to do that.
Okay.
So Roundup, of course, is going to be best in the hot weather, but it's going to kill everything.
Right.
If you get it on St. Augustine, it's going to kill it.
Okay. Okay, we've got lots of questions coming in. There's still more time. 850-437-1620. You're listening to The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins on Pep Talk. We'll be back right after the break. Good morning. This is Pep Talk and The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. We're doing a pretty good job of getting to all your questions. And I just want you to know that even when someone has a comment that goes kind of against what Mike has been saying, we will still put that out there. So we got a text from Jack, who's a listener. And in big letters, he says, no, kill all the crepe myrtles. Chinese invasive garbage tree. And he also says, same category as Bradford pear and kudzu. Shame on you, Mike. So then he asks, what is the best way to kill crepe myrtles? That's what I want to know. I've used little syringes stuck in drilled holes at an angle filled with Roundup. A few cycles of this usually kills the tree, but they keep coming up from rhizomatous. Is that right? And see, now we got the big words. Rhizomatous root propagation.
Rhizomes is what he's talking
about. Okay.
Kind of
for years. Blech, he says.
Well,
Apparently not a fan of crepe myrtles.
Okay, let's talk about the crepe myrtles a minute. I have never, ever thought of crepe myrtles as being invasive.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are some invasive trees. A popcorn tree, for example. Somebody wants to give you one, don't take it. It is invasive. It'll take over. You don't want
kudzu
to do that.
Kudzu, for sure.
Kudzu, of course.
Everybody knows that.
Yeah, Bradford pear, not so. It's got some other problems that we won't go into that right now. But on the crepe myrtle, I always go back to our friend Warren Briggs, who was a local community activist, who said, I'm going to make the crepe myrtle... I'm going to make Pensacola the crepe myrtle capital of the South.
Oh, boy.
And he almost did. We talked about it on our show, and it was in the newspaper, and so many people planted crepe myrtles. Because crepe myrtles has got one huge advantage. It gives you color in the summer.
So pretty.
I mean, if you spend time in your backyard, on your patio, wherever, and you have a beautiful crepe myrtle, they are gorgeous this time of year. Now, when Jack talks about it being invasive, what will happen is crepe myrtle, and some of the experts out there, maybe Paul might correct me.
Is basically
a shrub. It'll come up from the bottom, okay? And so what you do is keep that clipped off. So generally you have multi-trunks. You can have single trunks,
mm-hmm.
and with the top and the blooms. So it's a beautiful tree. Being invasive, I've never really looked at it that way.
Paul just texted in and said crepe myrtles are not on the invasive list.
Exactly. And Jack, one other thing too about trying to kill a crepe myrtle, they are hardy, because if you know, you and I both know, Jack, if you cut it down to the root or down, say, a foot off the ground, it's going to come back. It's going to come back. And I say using Roundup such as that, I don't believe is going to work on a woody plant like a crepe myrtle. It's just you're asking too much of the chemical to do that. I think you're going to have to get one of your good tree surgeons with a backhoe and get in there and get them out, root and all, mm-hmm. if you want to get rid of them totally. But Jack, that's very interesting, because there is an invasive plant list from the state of Florida.
Oh, really? Okay.
Absolutely.
Interesting.
Absolutely. And yes, I'm not surprised. And I thank Paul for that. I'm not surprised that it is not listed on the invasive plant list. But Jack, keep those cards and letters coming. That just promotes a real interesting conversation, and I really appreciate it. I appreciate the text.
He just texted again. He said, we had one, and we ground it down to 12 inches below the soil 4 years ago. It's still coming back.
It's always going to come back.
Even though it gets mowed every 2 weeks.
It's always going to come back.
Right?
Yeah. You got to get that root system out of there.
I can see why he feels it's invasive, because it's just not going to go away.
It just makes him angry.
Right.
You know?
I
understand.
Yeah, it's frustrating. But he also says, and I appreciate this too, he says, thank you for taking the time to answer the question, even though we see it differently, with a smiley face.
That's what makes the world go around, Jack.
Yes, love it. Thanks.
No doubt about it. Thank you.
Keep listening and keep bringing in those questions.
Absolutely.
Jack. We appreciate it. All right, we got another tree to think about. You ready? This is another question. My pecan tree has not produced in 4 years. What can I do?
Give it 6. No, don't laugh.
That sounds like something my mother would say. I'm sorry.
It does take a matter of years before they produce.
Okay.
And that's, I think, patience is what's going to help you here.
Mm-hmm. Because you're serious.
I am serious.
Oh,
yeah, give it a year or so more. I think that's going to do it. Now, you need to do a few things. You need to fertilize your pecan tree.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, this is going to sound kind of logical, pecan tree fertilizer is the best for pecan tree.
They make a pecan tree fertilizer?
Oh, sure. Okay. But here's the magic. Magic, that's so silly. No, here's the ingredients you're looking for. Zinc.
Okay, well, that's magic.
Your pecan tree fertilizer needs zinc. Mm-hmm. And keep in mind, I mean, if you have a four-year-old tree, those roots are really establishing themselves and moving out from the tree. So you need to fertilize out beyond, even a little bit beyond the drip line for your pecan tree. So the roots take in that fertilizer, make it grow, make it produce.
Okay, that's a great answer.
Yeah.
So we've had lots of texts this morning. Thank you so much to all the listeners who've been texting in their gardening questions. That's what the Garden Line is all about. Mike Wiggins is our garden expert. How long have you been doing this show now? Would you say?
I don't want to say. Oh, doing this show. Oh, no.
The gardening.
I thought you were going to ask me how long I've been doing
this. You can answer the both, yeah. You've been doing this how long?
Oh, my goodness. I don't know.
Were you into gardening when you were a kid?
No.
Oh, no?
Okay. No. Oh, no.
When did it start? When you started your company?
Well, yeah, when I came back from the service and from seeking my fortune, I came back, joined the family business, which was a great business, and we expanded it. We just had a great time in that business. So I did that then. That was probably in the mid-70s.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been 20,
well, that's about 40, 50. I hate to tell you because I'm coming up on my 50th reunion. So yes,
I just had my 60th reunion.
Oh gosh, that number! I can't even get my mind around it.
It was great.
Was it? Did you have fun?
Oh yes, we had a great time.
That's hard to believe, isn't it?
Yeah, people changed over the 60 years.
You know what's funny though is that I went to my 40th and I noticed that what doesn't change are people's eyes.
That's interesting. Really?
The same people that had a twinkle in their eyes in high school.
Still do, huh?
Still have that twinkle in their eyes.
Yeah.
You know? It's like the funny thing. Now, their hair's gray or no hair. Yeah. a few more pounds around the face. You
exactly.
know, everybody's faces have filled out a little bit. But there's some kind of energy people have that doesn't change.
Exactly.
I love that.
When you have those reunions, you start talking about the old jokes, the old things that happen, and all those memories kind of come back. And it really is fun.
Well, I love it that you have so much knowledge about this because it's such a gift to have someone that, I told him at the break, I said, I've never really gardened because I've never been very good at it, but I never had anybody to show me how. So now I'm kind of getting excited about, you know what, I might just take a couple more plants and put them out there.
And I told Meg, get over it. Get over it, you know.
Just start it. Do it, right? Just do it.
Remember what you said on Andrew's show? Spend more time at the beach.
Oh, okay. So you're basically saying to me, don't.
No, I'm not saying you don't. You know, this is, gardening is the number one hobby in America.
It's very therapeutic.
That's proven. It is therapeutic. And there's so many different ways to do it. And the thing about gardening in Pensacola, which really is fun, is that we have seasons.
Right.
You know, we have our fall, we have spring, summer, winter. And it's just great because you can plant different things.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes in our sandy soil, our acid soil, there's some challenges out there, you know, to get things to grow correctly. And that's one thing I really like about the Garden Line. We hear from so many people, and even like Jack, you know, who has different thoughts on how to do different things. And it's just real pleasure to sit here and hear from our listeners because so many of them are so good at this.
Okay.
And I appreciate that.
We've got a couple minutes left, so I'm going to ask you one more question.
Name it.
If you had one plant/flower to plant and that's all you could ever have the rest of your life, what would it be?
Oh, come on.
What would it be? Do you have one that's your favorite?
Well, I've got a lot of favorites.
Okay.
But one of my favorite summer plants, I love to plant caladiums.
Oh.
To me, they're kind of Pensacola. I know that's kind of a silly thing.
What do they look like?
Oh, the elephant ears.
Okay.
You know, not elephant ears. Elephant ears are different.
Mm-hmm.
But the caladiums are all different colors, you know, and they are almost bulletproof. You plant them in the spring, plant them in May, for example, and they'll come up and they'll be there all summer. And then you get into Labor Day and they kind of start disappearing.
Yep.
And over the years, we've had to dig them up and dry them and then plant them. But lately, they are coming up every year, acting almost like a perfect perennial.
All right.
Anyway, that's kind of where I am.
All right. We're going to take a quick break here. We'll be right back. This is Pep Talk in the Garden Line. We have run out of time. We've just been having a great time this morning. I can't believe it.
We have had some great calls today.
Yes, we have.
And we really, really appreciate it. And Meg, thank you.
All right. And someone said, Mike is a gift to the community.
I don't know about that. Thank you, though.
So.
That's awfully nice. Thank you.